Good morning. It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this last Sunday in June. This is the last Sunday of worship at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary for the summer. You will note that next Sunday is first Sunday in July, and we will be moving our worship service time to 10 a.m. and location to the church parlor, which is air conditioned, for the months of July and August. So you do want to note that time change of 10 beginning next Sunday. But it is a special day today. And I was just thinking a few minutes ago that we began this month with a luncheon honoring our laypersons of the year, Dave and Dottie Latta. And we conclude the month with saying goodbye and thanking John Nowak and Kevin Quinn for their leadership and ministry among us over the past several years as John and Christina are getting married in August and will be worshiping at Christina's church. And Kevin and his mom are moving to Texas in July. So we have a special coffee hour after the service today. I do want to invite you to stay for that and have an opportunity to speak with Kevin and John briefly and say goodbye to them, and God be with you as they move on in their lives. So that is a special time today. It's been a busy month. We look forward to the months of July and August and our summer worship as well. There's a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for greeters and coffee hour hosts in the month of July, and I do not believe it's full yet. So if you'd like to be a greeter or a coffee hour host during July or August, the sign-up sheet is there. In addition, if you are visiting today, I do want to extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you, and we ask you to fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. Let us pray. God, we have come this morning to hear again the message of your steadfast love and to place our trust in you. For all of our shortcomings and the mistakes we make, we are thankful that you welcome us into your house with open, everlasting arms. Speak to us again words of courage, strength, hope, compassion, and love. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Overcoming a strife, with a sin.
Thank you, David and Marilyn. We come to an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with our church family before going to prayer, and we have several celebrations today. Lana's back with us after, you know, having surgery, and we're still recuperating, but it's good to have you. And, you know, birthday girl next to her, Noreen, has a birthday today, so, you know, two celebrations in the same pew. We want to continue to remember Helen Fleet. Helen was released from New England Baptist Hospital to a specialized rehab hospital in Bradford or Haverhill. I'm not sure which place, but I think it's in Bradford. And for additional rehab treatment. But she's doing well. I spoke with her this week, and she left a message, and we've been playing telephone tag the last couple days. But did sound much better the last message she sent to me. So we want to keep Helen Fleet in prayer. Also, Paul Patry had surgery on Friday and is doing well. Is at home, and spoke with him last night and is doing well. So I want to remember Paul in prayer as well. Also, we want to keep Kevin Quinn and his mom Karen as they're preparing to move, and John Nowak and Christina Johnson. And I just looked at my calendar. It's 5 weeks, guys. 5 weeks from yesterday is their wedding. And a little wrinkle in that is Christina's leaving with her family for Estonia this week, traveling a pre-planned family trip. So we want to pray for traveling blessings for Christina and ongoing blessings for John and Christina as they're preparing for their wedding and, more importantly, for their marriage. And we just celebrate, you know, all that John has done here in the church, and thankful to God for that, and looking forward to hearing how he's serving his new church in ways that he's using his gifts. So we thank God for John and for Kevin today and their ministries here. We also want to remember your sister Lucille in prayer as she continues to be at home. And we want to continue to remember our other shut-ins who are not able to get here at all, and some aren't able to get here as often as they wish, and just, you know, keep them in our prayers as well. Loving and gracious God, it's good to come to your house this day, to spend these moments together in worship. Some of us may have traveled very short distances and perhaps even walked here, while others may have traveled many miles to be here today to celebrate this time of worship, to offer our praise and our petitions to you during this time of prayer. And we thank you for the opportunity that you are a personal God, not a God that's so remote and removed that does not care about us, but cares so much about us that you sent your Son to live among us, to die for us, and who is now preparing a place for us for eternity. And Lord, you also have not abandoned us, but have sent your Spirit to be in and among us this day, and we thank you for that. We thank you that the Spirit provides comfort and peace, encouragement, nudges when we need to be pushed a little, and refreshment when we feel very tired and worn out. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may be felt especially close this day, in this time of worship. Lord, we've mentioned some that have health issues, some recuperating from surgeries, others who are just not feeling well, or perhaps are awaiting surgeries or undergoing rehabilitation. Lord, we place them all in your hands and pray for your will in their lives be accomplished. Lord, we pray this day for those who are in mourning and are missing the love of a loved one. And just pray for your Spirit of peace and comfort to be with them during this time of transition, this time of difficulty. Lord, if we think about transitions, we realize that school is over now and graduations have taken place, and is a time of summer and vacations, but also a time of transitions for many people. And we pray this day for those who are living in transition, whether it's facing a move to another state, whether it's getting married, whether it's traveling, finding a new job, Whatever the changes in our lives, Lord, remind us that you are a constant, that you are always there for us. No matter what we experience in our lives that keeps us, you know, changing all the time, we pray that your Spirit may remind us that you are always there to help us and to be a rock and a steadfast place for us to cling when we feel like we may be overwhelmed by the things going on in our lives. Lord, this day we pray for John Nowak and Christina as they prepare for their wedding and marriage. And Lord, we just thank you for John and you know his service here in this congregation. We've watched him grow up. And we've seen him take on leadership responsibilities. And we're so happy for John that he's found Christina and they are planning their life together. Just pray for blessings upon each of them. And we also pray for Kevin, oh Lord. And some have watched him grow up in this church as well and become a leader. And Lord, we thank you for his enthusiasm. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with him and his mom as they join Kevin's brother Christopher and family in Texas, and that they begin a new life that may be a good transformation for them and time of change. Lord, we pray for our congregation as we are losing these folks, and just pray that you know, you will continue to strengthen us and that you will call others to leadership within our congregation. And Lord, now we pray for our world. And no matter how we listen to the news or read it, we hear of more bloodshed and more violence taking place. Lord, we pray that there may be peace in our world. And we pray that the Prince of Peace may come not just at Christmas time, but come every day of the year, that we may be ambassadors of that peace, that we may start with our own families and communities and finding ways of nonviolence to settle our differences. And Lord, we pray all of this now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We have an opportunity now to continue in our worship and worship tangibly by presenting our tithes and our gifts to God through the morning offering. The ushers will receive your gifts. pray together. Lord, we do offer you thanks for all of your blessings to us. And out of gratitude, we present these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share the news of Jesus Christ with others who have not heard about him. They too may come to know him and love him. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. May Upperman as our lay leader today, and we'll be reading the scripture.
The scripture today is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer from doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet, do with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for the sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which as few as 8 persons were saved through water. And baptism, which is this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. May God bless the reading and understanding of this scripture.
Thank you, May. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from the Apostle Peter, that we need to be strong in our faith and clear about who we are as we present ourselves to the world. Lord, we pray this day that we may receive words from you that may help us in our daily living, that we may be stronger and more faithful in our discipleship of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. I'd like to play a little guessing game with you this morning. I'd like you to see if you can guess the item that I'm describing with the following clues. And you may get it after the first one. It's the condiment found in nearly every American refrigerator, in every table, in every American diner. We put it on everything from eggs to fries to burgers. And the thicker, the better. The third clue is it takes some well-placed whacks on the bottle or a healthy squeeze to get it moving from bottle to plate. But as the old commercial jingle said, anticipation makes it worth the wait. Of course, I'm talking about ketchup. It's not something that people normally talk about, especially preachers on Sunday mornings. In fact, we rarely talk about it at all, even when we're pouring it on our plates, unless we're having difficulty getting it out of the bottle. It's just something that we take for granted. Garrison Keillor's A Prairie Home Companion radio program has sponsored ads from the Ketchup Advisory Board. And each week or whenever the skit is put on, there's a brief skit and a little jingle that's sung touting ketchup's, quote, natural mellowing agents, unquote. One of the jingles goes this way. These are the good times in the golden sun. A new day is dawning. A new life has begun. Love is flowing like ketchup on a bun. Ketchup for the good times of our lives. But ketchup did not always have such a good reputation. You're going to learn more about ketchup this morning than you probably ever wanted to know. But before H.J. Heinz started making ketchup and putting it in the iconic bottle that adorns our tables, putting ketchup on anything was the equivalent of pouring toxic waste on it. Eating ketchup could be dangerous for our health. In 1866, ketchup was, according to cookbook author Pierre Blot, filthy, decomposed, and putrid. A short tomato-growing season, compiled with carelessness, lack of clean storage, and generally unsanitary conditions, in addition to the highly flammable coal tar that was added to the mix to enhance the red color. All of these reasons combined made ketchup a potentially lethal concoction. In an 1896 study, for example, 90% of commercial ketchups were found to contain, quote, injurious ingredients that could lead to death, unquote. And we thought the double burger with extra cheese and bacon was dangerous. Forget about the condiments. But enter Henry J. Heinz. In 1876, the Pittsburgh visionary bottled his first batch of tomato ketchup. And it's interesting that if you read the bottle, it's always called tomato ketchup because there were other things that were made into ketchups as well. But he was making tomato ketchup. And Heinz was a morally strong man who worked diligently at developing a safe environment and a process for ketchup to be produced in a way that was pure and enjoyable and transparent. His factory in Pittsburgh was spotless. His workers were encouraged to be meticulous about cleanliness. And Heinz rewarded them with fresh uniforms, free laundry, free life insurance and health care, athletic facilities, a swimming pool, and even in-house manicures to make sure that every worker's nails were immaculate. This is the late 1800s. A man before his times, an employer before his times. But the result was a perfect environment for making ketchup that would not only not kill the consumer, it was so good that it became a staple on American dinner tables for the next centuries and plus. Heinz was so focused on purity and transparency that he refused to bottle his ketchup in an opaque brown bottle that were common at the time, choosing instead to use clear glass bottles as a way of demonstrating the product's purity to the public. Heinz went beyond that. He opened his factory to 30,000 visitors each year so that they could look at the company and watch the company make the ketchup and see the company had nothing to hide. He wrote once that it's always safe to buy the products of an establishment that keeps its doors open. And by 1906, Heinz was selling 5 million bottles of preservative-free ketchup every year. And it remains the best-selling ketchup in America even today. Henry Heinz built a lasting legacy based on transparency, earning the trust of consumers because he focused on purity and quality and hid nothing from them. The clear quality bottle of ketchup, whether it's the traditional glass design or the plastic squeeze bottle, is still something that people trust well enough to take for granted. Heinz made ketchup, but he was even more concerned about making the world a better place. Are we as eager to do good as Peter puts it in today's scripture? Are we living lives that are equally transparent, doing what is right, no matter what it might cost? Peter offers us some bold advice on how to live the Christian life in such a way that everyone who sees us will know exactly what's inside of us. Peter is writing to churches in Asia Minor who are undergoing a great period of distress and persecution for their faith. They're suffering in a world where the hidden agendas and unjust tactics of their opponents are injurious ingredients that could lead to death. Rather than retaliate, Peter encourages the people in the churches to live lives of purity in the midst of suffering, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you and against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Indeed, Peter says, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. The real test of the Christian life is the ability to stay pure and transparent even when others are trying to dump their spiritual equivalent of toxic coal tar into our lives. Suffering is inevitable in the Christian life, but the way we react to it makes all the difference. In fact, if we read through the New Testament, it's clear that God somehow uses, but does not cause, suffering to produce something in us. In Romans chapter 5, for example, Paul writes that suffering produces endurance, Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Jesus said that we should rejoice when we suffer, because it means that we're representing Him and we're coming closer and closer to God's kingdom. Somehow, in a counterintuitive way, suffering can end up producing the best in us. We often can't see that when we're undergoing the suffering. That's what Peter is encouraging us to do, to look beyond the present moment to see the bigger picture. We only need to look at the ketchup bottle to be reminded of this. The classic glass Heinz bottle does not make it easy to pour out the ketchup. The thick tomato mixture does not easily flow from the bottle. That's why we often pound or shake the bottle repeatedly to get the good stuff to come out. But it has to be done correctly. As I learned while I lived in Pittsburgh for 5 years, there is a correct way for helping the ketchup to flow freely from the Heinz ketchup bottle. The company invested a lot of time and money in researching the best design for its bottles of ketchup, and it instructs us to tap the top of the bottle, especially where the 57 varieties label is on the bottle's neck. There, if the tapping there, that's the right place for the force that allows the good stuff to flow from the bottle. The pounding we give to a ketchup bottle is like the pounding of persecution and suffering that can produce the same effect in us. A lot of times if we're whacking the bottom of that bottle and the ketchup just does not come out. Sometimes when we're undergoing suffering, we feel like we're being pounded on. And it can have two effects, one of two effects. This pounding of during our suffering, it can either cause us to stiffen and become rigid, or it can trigger a flow of the fruit of the Spirit in us that can season the world. Peter says that this is exactly what happened with Jesus, who suffered for our sins on the cross and yet produced the effect of bringing people to God. When we, quote, sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts and respond to suffering by giving an account of this hope in our hearts and respond to suffering by giving by gentleness and reverence, we produce the kind of fruit that is transparently clear in conscience and pure in heart, life, and motive. Jesus' own fruitfulness extended to the spirits in prison, as Peter writes, those people who were disobedient in the days of Noah. Biblical scholars have and continue to debate what Peter actually means here, but the main thrust of these verses in his letter is about baptism, which is the ultimate mark of purity and transparency and cleanliness for the Christian. We go back to the story of Noah in the Old Testament in Genesis. We see that God saved Noah and his family through water during the days of the flood. And just so, God saves us through water, through our baptisms, into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a cleansing that goes much deeper than the removal of the dirt and the crud that defiles the body and makes even things like ketchup to be lethal. Instead, the baptism is a cleansing that protects us from long-term effects of death because we've committed ourselves to Jesus Christ. Baptism reminds us that we're people belonging to Jesus and that we are to reflect Him in our conduct, our character, and even in our times of suffering. What kind of suffering has been pounding at you these days? How can we allow Jesus to help us be fruitful, even in our times of suffering? In what ways are we living out our baptismal vows and being transparent witnesses for Christ in the world? As Jesus said, the true people of God will be known by their fruits. Are we presenting ourselves to the world as an opaque bottle with toxins such as hatred and sin and revenge inside, bottled up, just waiting to come out? Or are we pure and transparent, keeping our doors open, keeping our hearts open, and inviting the world to see the vision of the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, and the one who uses us? The next time we pick up a bottle of ketchup and start pounding on it or squeezing it, and perhaps that'll be this week as part of our July 4th observances, let's remember where this favorite condiment came from and how it was developed. And may we also remember where we have come from and how we are developing and being shaped by God's Spirit to be transparent and pure for all to see, and all to see Jesus Christ in us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the safety of the food that we eat. And as we've looked at the evolution of ketchup and what H.J. Heinz did to work for his workers to provide a safe environment to produce, but also a place to work, Lord, we are mindful that you call us to be productive, to be clear and transparent in our faith, even in times of suffering, Lord. Perhaps you are the only one who knows how much some of us are suffering inside. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit may come, may help to transform us through our suffering, that we may not be transformed into dark, negative people, that we may be transformed by Christ's light to reflect Christ's light and love to the world, that we may be purely honest in our faith, that Christ may be seen in all that we say and all that we do. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is We Are God's People, number 669. as we leave this place. Be assured that God's Spirit goes with us. Being so empowered, may we live our lives so that each person we meet will know that we are Christians because of our love through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
to reflect Christ's light and love to the world.